can be found on page 883 of the Pew Bible. Luke chapter 22, verses 66 through 71. This is the word of the Lord. When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people gathered together, both chief priests and scribes, and they led him away to their council. And they said, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God." So they all said, "Are you the Son of God then?" And he said to them, "You say that I am." Then they said, "What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips." This is the word of the Lord. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? This is the most important question we can ever be asked. And it is the most important question we can ever answer. And if you have not yet answered it, you must. And even should you refuse, you will. This question turned the world upside down. It left kings speechless and filled infants with joy. Robbed the mighty of sleep and gave hope to those of low estate. It made demons tremble and the roar of the sea to be still. And had all remained silent, the rocks would have cried out. Who is Jesus? In Luke chapter 22, verses 66 through 71, Jesus was put on trial to answer this question. He was arrested and made to stand before the assembly of the elders, before the chief priests and scribes. Who are you? They were anxious to know, though deep down they did know, but did not like the answer. If you are the Christ, tell us. And Jesus replies, "If I tell you, you will not believe. If I ask you, you will not answer. They did not believe that he was the Christ because they did not want him as Christ. He was not the kind of Savior they were seeking. He was not one who would prove useful to them, who would serve their own agenda, who would establish them in their position of authority, who would win them a mighty kingdom on earth. Even if they had believed that he was the Christ, they would never have confessed him as Christ. Here then is the first answer to our question. Who is Jesus? He is the Christ. But you are not only called to believe it. You are also called to confess it. What did it mean for Jesus to be the Christ? He has already told us. Luke chapter 9, verse 22. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. Elders, chief priests, and scribes, the very ones before whom Jesus now stands. And so we know how this trial will end. It will end with the elders and chief priests and scribes rejecting him. Jesus is not the only one on trial in our passage. Will the elders and chief priests and scribes acknowledge the truth? Or will they bury it in arrogance and pride? Of course we know, because Jesus has already said, they will reject him. They will condemn him, declaring that he is not the Christ. They will send him to his death. But that is the very thing that makes him the Christ. This is the very thing that makes him the Savior of his people. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to bear our sins. Came to take our place. To endure for us what we deserve. And so it was necessary that he be condemned. For we stand condemned. It was necessary that he die, for we deserve death. It was necessary that he suffer the cursed death of the cross, for we are under a curse. It was necessary that he satisfy God's wrath, for by nature we are children of wrath. This is what it meant for Jesus to be the Christ. This is what it means for Jesus to be the Christ. This is why we must confess that Jesus is the Christ. For there is no other hope. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Who then is Jesus? He is the Christ. This we must believe. And this we must confess. But our confession does not end there. More may be said. For in verse 69, Jesus continues, "But from now on, the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God." In verse 69, Jesus takes two ideas from the Old Testament and brings them together. The first is from Daniel chapter 7. Concerning the Son of Man. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. "I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." In Daniel chapter 7, this Son of Man is exalted on the clouds of heaven and brought before the throne of God. And there he is given by the Ancient of Days the kingdom of glory. A kingdom that is over all. A kingdom that cannot be destroyed. A kingdom that will not pass away. Great is the exaltation of the Son of Man, and great is his power. In Daniel chapter 7, the Son of Man is made the heir of the kingdom of heaven. But if we were listening carefully, in Daniel chapter 7, we did not hear of the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of God. For this, we must turn to Psalm 110. Psalm 110, verse 1. "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand, until I make your enemies your footstool." In bringing these passages together, Daniel chapter 7 and Psalm 110, Jesus identifies both as being fulfilled in him. And so we are invited to see what lies beyond his suffering and death, what lies beyond his grave. We are invited to see his resurrection and exaltation. This suffering Christ, this man of sorrows, he will also become the exalted Son of Man. He will also be enthroned in glory. As one who is to be forsaken by God on the cross, this very one will sit at his right hand. Who then is Jesus? He is the Christ, and he is the Son of Man. He is the Christ who suffers for our sins. And he is the Son of Man who sits at the right hand of God in heaven. And this too requires a response. Psalm 110, verse 3. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power. To confess that Jesus is the Son of Man, it requires that you offer yourself freely to him. It requires that you bend your knee before him. It requires that you swear your allegiance to him. For you cannot have him as your Savior if you will not confess him as Lord.
But that is what David confessed. The Lord says to my Lord.
In Psalm 110, David confessed him as Lord. And so must you. But more may still be said. Our confession does not end there. For in verse 70, the assembly of elders and chief priests and scribes ask a second question. Are you the Son of God? As the Christ, he is the Son of David. But in Psalm 110, David called him Lord. So it would seem that he is more than the Son of David. That he is more than the Son of Man. He is in truth not only the Son of David. He is also the Son of God. And though Jesus does not answer this question directly, his meaning is plain. They understand him to be saying that he is the Son of God. And they condemn him for it. But if we have read the Old Testament, we might at first not understand why they condemned him for acknowledging this. After all, in the Old Testament, Adam was called the Son of God. Israel was called the Son of God. The Christ was called the Son of God. If Jesus then is the Christ, of course he would be the Son of God. Why would this lead the assembly to condemn him? Why would it lead them to condemn him, as is made explicit in Matthew and Mark, for blasphemy? Listen again to what Jesus says in verse 70. You say that I am. Now we might not hear it at first, and it may seem like a stretch, but I do not think it is. You say that I am. These are loaded words. They carry the weight of the whole Old Testament. You say that I am. How did God reveal himself to his people in the Old Testament? By what name did he reveal himself? Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Verse 14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. Here is one of the great scandals of the New Testament. Not simply the confession that Jesus is divine, but the confession that Jesus is God, but the confession that Jesus is Yahweh, the confession that Jesus is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Who then is Jesus? Yes, he is the Son of God. But when we confess that he is the Son of God, we are not merely saying that he has a divine nature, nor are we saying that he is a God. We are confessing that he is the God, the only God, distinct from the Father, but one with the Father, and no less than the Father. Truly this would have been scandalous were it not the truth. And this too has consequences. For if we confess that Jesus is the Son of God, then we are not only to serve him as men serve their king. We are also to worship him as we would the Father. And now we have reached the end of the answer to that question of all questions. Who is Jesus?
He is the Christ. Who is Jesus? He is the Son of Man. Who is Jesus? He is the Son of God. Who is Jesus? He is the Lord of Lords. But our answer does not end in confessing these things about Jesus. And truly, our answer has no end. For if he is the Christ, we must rest in him. If he is the Son of Man, we must obey him. And if he is the Son of God, we must worship him, and that forever. This is why the one who answers rightly has eternal life. For one cannot respond to this question rightly if he does not respond forever. For eternity cannot exhaust the rest that is found in him. Eternity cannot exhaust the obedience that is owed him. Eternity cannot exhaust the worship that is due him. Here is the end of our answer. And yet it is not the end of our passage. There is one question left. Verse 71. Then they said, "What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips." The answer to that question is none at all. No further testimony is needed. They said this to condemn him, but in truth, they vindicated him. For we need no further testimony than the testimony from his lips. Who is he? What did he say? He is the Christ. He is the Son of Man. He is the Son of God. It was the testimony from his lips. May it be the testimony from your lips. May it join the sound of his praise that has no end. Amen. Let us pray.